top of Kuf Vav Amud Aleph, at the very top of the page. So the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Chalitza Mutes Kshera. If you do a Chalitza under a mistaken premise, the Chalitza is okay. So what does that mean? Ezohi Chalitza Mutes, Amarei Shlakish, Kol She'omrim Lo Chalotzu Chachata Konsa. Let's say you basically mislead the Yavam. You say to the Yavam, listen, do Chalitza, and then you'll be able to marry her. In other words, you tell them the exact opposite of what a Chalitza is. So the Gemara says, that's fine. So asks the Gemara, Amarei Reb Yochanan, Ani Shona, Bein Shenes Kavin Hu, Velonis Kavna Hi, Bein Shenes Kavna Hi, Velonis Kavin Hu, Chalitza Sapsula, Cheyes Kavnu Shneem Kech. Rabbi Yochanan turns around and says, that's directly against what I said a couple of da'af ago, that both the man and the woman have to be aware of what they're doing. How can you now turn around and tell me that even if we mislead the Yavam and tell him that Chalitza really means that he's marrying the woman, that somehow is okay? So the Gemara says, you're right. It doesn't mean that the Yavam thinks that he's marrying her. That's not going to work. But rather, what it means is that you tell him, if you do Chalitza, then we'll pay you 200 zuz. So the Gemara says, even if you end up not paying him, that's okay. That Chalitza is valid. Then the Gemara says, U'maisa be'isha achas she'nafla lifnei yavam she'en hagen la. There was a woman who fell to Yibam, to her Yavam, who wasn't fitting for her, wasn't an appropriate match. So then he said, they basically tricked the guy doing a Chalitza by bribing him and saying, well, you know, we'll pay you off. And Rabbi Chia said, that's a valid Chalitza. So there was a woman who was theoretically, could either have Yibam or Chalitza. She came in front of a bezdin of Rabbi Chia Baraba, and Rabbi Chia said to her, stand up. So Amr Le, Ema Yeshivasa Zoe Amidasa. So the woman responds and says that my sitting is like my standing. What she was effectively saying was that she didn't even want to engage in this court case. In other words, she was so disinterested in marrying this Yavam. The Yavam, as we'll see in a second, wanted to do Yibam with her, but she had no interest, that she basically refused to even engage in the court case. So Amar Lo Yadatle. So Rabbi Chia said to her, "Do you know this guy? Do you know the Yavam?" Amar Lo In Mamona Hu Dechazala VeKabay LaMeichle Mina. He says, "I know that the guy just wants to marry me for my money." So Amar Lo Lo Nechalach. So what? So Rabbi Chia said to her, "You don't want to marry him?" Amar Lo Lo. She said, "I'm not interested in marrying this guy." So Amar Lo Chalotzlo VeChachat Dekonsam. So Rabbi Chia said to the Yavam, again, the Yavam, presumably didn't know the halacha so well, said, do Chalitza, and then you can marry. Basically tricked him into doing a Chalitza. So Levaser de Chalatzla, Amar le Hashta Minachi Pastala, Chalotzla Chalitza Ma'al Yisa Kihichi de Sishterela Alma. So then after he tricked him into doing this Chalitza, he said, listen, even though this Chalitza is not valid according to Rabbi Yochanan, as we established, because the guy thought he was marrying her, he said, but it's disqualified you from marrying her. It's still a Chalitza Psula. It's enough to now not allow you to marry her. So now you might as well do a regular chalitza, normal chalitza that's kosher l'chol adeos, to now allow her to go marry somebody else. Then the Gemara says, Bas chamua de Rav Papa nafla lifnei yavam she'en hagen la. Similar story. Rav Papa's sister-in-law fell in Yibam to a man that wasn't a fit for her. Asa l'kame de abaye, amar le chalotzla v'chachat akonsa. So the same story. So again, they said, to the Yavam, do chalitza, and then you'll be able to marry her. So amar le Rav Papa, lo savar l'amar l'had amar Rabbi Yochanan, don't you subscribe to Rabbi Yochanan's position that that's not going to work if the guy thinks he's marrying her. That's not a valid chalitza. So the Gemara then says, "Ve'ela heichi emoli." So what should we say to him? How else is this woman, going to get out of the marriage? So Amar le chalotz la'manash titin l'chamasayim zuz. So again, use the other method that we mentioned, which is basically bribe the guy and claim that we're going to pay him off for doing the chalitza. So levasher the chalotz la Amar la zil havle. So once the chalitza was performed, so Abaye said, "Okay, now you have to pay him up. Now you have to pay him his 200 zuz." So Amar le no mishata ani b'chav delay. Rapapa said, "No, we don't have to pay the 200 zuz because this is what the Gemara calls Mishata Anibach, which basically just means I was just joking around. I was just kidding, right? The whole thing was a joke. So the Gemara says, Milo Tanya, Hare Shaya Borech, Mibesto Asurin Vahisa Ma'avra Lefanav. The Amar Le told Dinar Vahavi Raini, Elo Elascharo, Alma Amar Le Mishata Anibach, Hachanami Mishata Anibach. So, and the paradigm for this halach is, let's say you have a guy who's escaping from prison. This Gemara at the end of Masechas Baba Kama, guy's escaping from prison, and he comes across some kind of a ferry service, a boat, whatever it is, and he's basically desperate to get on the boat to get away from the prison island, and he says to the ferry driver, I'll give you a dinar, I'll give you some exorbitant sum of money, way more than the fare for the boat, in order to get away from here. So the Gemara says you only have to pay him the normal fare. You're not obligated to pay him the exorbitant sum that you said, because you were clearly joking. You just wanted to get away from the prison. You weren't really intending to pay him the full amount. So the same is true here too. You're never intending to pay the Yavam this exorbitant amount to perform the Chalitza. So then Abaye was so impressed with Rav Papa's intuition that he was able to construe this argument. Amar Le, Avoh Hecha, Amar Le B'masa. Imachecha Amar Le B'masa. Yoav B'hu Enei Ushchivan. Basically, Abaye, we know from other Gemaras, was an orphan. He was raised by... He was raised by his foster mother, but his biological parents had both died. His father, while his mother was pregnant, and his mother died during pregnancy. So Abaye was an orphan, and therefore he felt that his own Torah learning was stunted because he didn't have parents close by to help him grow in his Torah learning. Whereas Rav Papa said that both his parents lived close by in the town. So Abaye was jealous of the fact that Rav Papa had this easy access to his parents. So Abaye set his eyes on Rav Papa's parents, and they both died because Abaye felt, you know, he felt that it wasn't fair that he wasn't able to have the same support that Rav Papa had. Okay, then we're says Tana Rabbanan. Chalitza mutes kshera, get muta pasol. Chalitza meuses psula, get meusa kasha. The Gemara makes the following distinction. If the chalitza is done with a mistaken premise, that's fine. That was the whole previous, you know, discussion in the Gemara. Whereas if a get is given under a mistaken premise, that's problematic. In contrast, if you have a chalitza that's done under duress, where someone is forced to do a chalitza, that's a problem. That's psula. Whereas if a get is given under duress, that's okay. So the Gemara explains, Hei chidami, ida amarotzani afilu chalitza nami, v'ilo amarotzani get nami lo. So the Gemara says, well, what's the case here? If the guy is consenting to doing the chalitza, so then why is it problematic? And in the case of the get, if the guy is refusing to give the get, so then why is that okay? So the Gemara says, you're right, hachi ka'amar, chalitza mutes liolam kasher, v'get muta liolam pasol, chalitza meuses, v'get meuse zimnin kasher, v'zimnin pasol, hada amarotzani, hada lo amarotzani, desanya, yakrivoso, melame Kofenoso. Yachal Baal Karcho, Tamalomar Lirtsono. Haketzad Kofenoso Achiomer Rotsani. Vechenat Amotse Begite Nashim Kofenoso Achiomer Rotsani. Basically, the Gemara makes the following distinction, that when it comes to a chalitza or a get that's quote-unquote forced, the Gemara says it's only going to be valid if the guy ends up saying, I want it, if the guy ends up conceding. Now, usually if the guy is conceding, then it's not being forced, but the Gemara explains, based on Psukim and Parshas of Vayikra by Karbanos, that there's this concept called kofeno soach yomer rotzani, which is kind of a strange idea, but it basically means you beat up the guy until he says, I want to. And if a guy starts beating you up until you say, you know, okay, fine, I'll do it, so that's already enough. So the Gemara says if the guy compels you, but eventually you say, fine, I'll do it, then the chalitza or get is kosher. If the guy still is holding out and he says, I refuse to give the get or the chalitza, so then it's not going to be valid. Okay, then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Amar Rav Schor Amar Rav Huna, Cholzen af al pi she'in makirin meman en af al pi she'in makirin, lefichach ein kosin get chalitza ela imkein makirin ve'in kosin get mion ela imkein makirin dechay shin levezdin tawin, ve'rava didei omer ein cholzen ela imkein makirin ve'in meman en ela imkein makirin, lefichach kosin get chalitza af al pi she'in makirin ve'chosin get mion af al pi she'in makirin. The Gemara has the following machlokas. According to Rava, quoting his Rabbeim, so Rava's Rabbeim thought that chalitza and miyun, again, miyun we'll talk a lot more about in the next parak, but chalitza and miyun can be done even if you don't recognize the people involved. Let's say a man and a woman walk into Beis Din and they claim that they're a yavam and a yavama and they need to do chalitza, and you've never seen them before, you never heard of them before, they come from some other town, or the case is miyun, right? The girl is 10 years old, she was married off by her mother, by her brothers, and now she's claiming that she needs to do miyun. Again, you've never heard of these people, you never met them before, it doesn't matter. According to Rava's Rabbeim, you can administer the chalitza or the miyun without a problem. The only caveat to that, says the Gemara, is that you cannot write up a shtar that says explicitly that you oversaw a chalitza or a miyun unless you specifically knew the people, the parties involved, and you knew for a fact that they were actually obligated to do chalitza or that miyun was actually an option. Whereas Rava himself disagrees, Rava himself claims that chalitza and miyun can only be done in the first place if you actually know the parties involved and you actually know what's going on, so therefore you can write up the shtar without any other knowledge, because the whole chalitza and miyun didn't even get off the ground unless you knew who the parties involved were. The whole issue here is, the concern is that if you write up a shtar without really knowing the parties involved and you don't really know what's going on, so there might be a future bezin that might see the shtar and say, oh, you know, there was a chalitza done, so we can let this woman marry whoever she wants, but that's obviously not going to be okay if you don't really know the parties involved. So again, this is kind of a double-edged machlokas. According to Rava's Rabbeim, you can administer a chalitza or miyun without knowing who's involved, but you can't write that shtar unless you know who's involved, whereas Rava himself says, you have to know who's involved for all intents and purposes, which means that you're obviously not going to write up the shtar because, in other words, unless you know who's involved, because otherwise the chalitza or miyun never would have gotten off the ground in the first place. Okay.
Rabbi, if I walk into a Beis Din with a woman and say, you need to do chalitza, and I have nothing to do with her, I don't know, we just want to go ahead and do chalitza. Have I done anything? I would assume I've done nothing if I have.
Well, I'm saying from your perspective, no, you haven't done anything. But this Gemara is talking about from the Beis Din's perspective. I'm sitting on the Beis Din, and these two random people who I've never met before from a different town come in, and they start telling me a story that they're a Yavam and a Yavama, so So again, according to Rav Rabbein, I can administer the chalitza, I just can't write up a shtar because I don't know who they are. Whereas Rav himself will tell you, no, you can't do anything unless you know for a fact that these are people who actually require chalitza or meal. Okay.
But I would assume in my example, I've done nothing that she would be allowed to marry a Kohen.
You're saying, is that a chalitza psula? Right. That's a good question. So the answer is probably not. The answer, in other words, the answer is probably that it's a totally meaningless act, right, if there was no obligation of chalitza there in the first place. Yeah. Okay. So the Mishnah says, mitzvah chalitza, bahu v'yavimto levezdin, v'hin masiyan lo etza ha-hogenes lo, shene amar, v'kara ulo zikne irove dibiru eila. So again, the Mishnah now is going to go through the procedure of chalitza. So the man and the woman come to Bezdin, and the Bezdin will give her advice, right? Again, we referenced this idea earlier that if there's a large age discrepancy between the man and the woman, they'll advise them not to get married. The Hio Meris, me'en yevami lahakim liach if shem b'Yisrael lo avayabami. The woman will cite the pasuk that says that my yavam refuses to marry me, he refuses to continue the legacy of his dead brother. The Hu Omer lo chafati lekachta, and the man will affirm that by saying, yes, I'm I have no interest in marrying her. Uva lashon hakodesh are you omrim, and then they have to also recite the psukim in Hebrew and in lashon hakodesh as written in the psukim. The negesha And then the pasuk says that the yavama will come in front of the elders, and she's going to remove the yavam shoe, and she's going to spit. So the dayanim have to actually see the spit. So then the yavama would say that this is what's going to be done to the man who doesn't want to build up his brother's house. So the Mishnah says that basically up until this point, the dayanim would prompt the yavama to read the psukim, and then she would kind of repeat after them. And then there was one time where Rabbi Horkinus was administering a chalitza under some kind of a tree in Kfar Itam, and he actually just kind of prompted them to read the whole section, all the psukim and parashas kiseitze about chalitza and yibum, and then the minhag became established that you just read all the psukim. Then ikrashimo be Yisrael beis chalutz hanal mitzvah bedayanin velo mitzvah besalmidim. Rabbi Huda omer mitzvah kol haumdim sham lomar chalutz hanal. Then we have a machlokas, but how to interpret this pasuk that says that everyone's going to proclaim that this is the house where the shoe was removed. So according to the Tanakhama, only the Dayanim have the obligation to say Chalutz Hanal, that the shoe was removed. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, everyone who's witnessing the Chalitza has to say Chalutz Hanal. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Mitzvah Chalitza Kora V'Kore V'Choletzes V'Rokeka V'Kora. So this is basically, if you want to boil down the procedures of Chalitza into a few very simple terms, so basically it's the woman says some psukim, the man says some psukim, the woman takes off the shoe, she spits, and then the woman says some more psukim. So Ma'ikam Ashmalan Masnisini. That's what the Mishnah already told us. The Mishnah spelled out everything. Why are we repeating this? So hakamash malan mitzvah hachi v'yapich leislan. But basically, it just teaches us that if you don't do it in this order, it's not ma'ake. Time nami hachi bein shehikdim chalitza lerekiko bein shehikdim rekiko lachalitza mashasa. So again, we've already referenced this a few times this week, which is that the order is not really ma'ake b'di'evet. If you didn't do everything in the proper order, b'di'evet the chalitza is still okay. Amar Abaye, hay man demakri ger chalitza. Lo likre lidida lo lichudei the avaya b'mi lichudei demashma avaya b'mi elalo avaya b'mi velo likre lidida lo lichudei chafatzi lichudei demashma chafatzi lekachta elalo chafatzi lekachta. So comes Abaye and says that you have to be careful grammatically about how you parse up the words that you're saying as part of the procedure of chalitza, because you could read, for example, you could say lo avaya b'mi means that my yavam doesn't want to marry me, but if you said lo and then you said avaya b'mi means that my yavam does want to marry me. So basically, Abaye says you have to make sure to say everything in one breath, in one clause, in one phrase, so people don't get the wrong idea. However, Rava Amar Avsuke Milsi Avsuke Milsi Lislam. But Rava says it's not a big deal. You don't have to be so careful, because when a person takes a breath in the middle of a sentence, you don't go crazy and say, "Oh, he meant something else." Rav Ashi Ashkechel Rav Kahana to come at Starim Makri La Lo Avayabemi. So Rav Ashi one time saw that Rav Kahana was really trying to be Makbid to say that phrase Lo Avayabemi in one breath. So Amar Le Lo Saver Le Mar Lahad. Rava, don't you subscribe to Rava's idea that you don't have to be so machmed about how you parse up the words? So Amar Le, no, mo de Rava, below avayabami. Even Rava concedes when it comes to the phrase lo avayabami, you have to keep that as one phrase. You can't pause in the middle. Amar Abaye, Haiman de Chasav Gita de Chalitzta, Lichtov Hachi, Akrenua Lidida, Min Me'en Yavami, Ad Avayabami, Vakrenuhu Lidide, Min Lo Ad Lekachta, Vakrenua Lidida, Min Kacha Ver Chalitzan. So if you're going to write a Shkar Chalitza, basically a Ger Chalitza, star that documents that, you know, you basically went through the procedure. So all you basically write is that the woman said the first set of psukim, then the man said the psukim, and then the woman said the final set of psukim. Mar Zutra Mar Zutra not only would write up a shtar of chalitza, but he would actually do sirtut. Sirtut is the process where you make these like scratch marks, these lines. This is what we do in a Sefer Torah. You see all the lines, you know, in every line of a Sefer Torah. So he used to do that when he would write out the shtar of chalitza because he was writing psukim. So maskif lamar baridi v'halo nitin likase. But the Gemara says, what do you mean? But these psukim, but the halacha is that you're not really supposed to write psukim on their own unless they're part of a larger Sefer Torah. So the Gemara says, yeah, but v'hilch psukim v'asei de Mar Zutra. But nonetheless, we paskin like Mar Zutra that you can write up the shtar. And again, Mar Zutra says that you're supposed to also do sirtut to make the scratch marks while you're writing them up. Amar Rabbi, Rakaka uklatato haruach lo asta velo klum, my taima viyarika bifanav beinan, hilka hu arach vihigutza klatasao haruach ika bifanav, hi aruka vihu guts, beinana demate lahade ape vahader azil. So the Gemara has the following halacha, that when the woman spits in front of the man, the spit has to actually go in front of his face. If the wind takes the spit and throws it away before it gets in front of the man's face, that's not a valid rakika. So for example, the Gemara says, if let's say the man is very tall and the woman is short, so then when the woman spits, the assumption is that the spit is already going to be in front of his face. If the wind sweeps it away, that's okay. But if it's the reverse, if the woman is tall and the man is very short, so then the only way the rakika is valid is if the spit comes into his airspace and then the wind sweeps it away. Amar Rava, achla tuma viraksa, achla gargishta viraksa loasta velo klum, my taima viyarika meatzma beinan veleka. If let's say the woman ate garlic or some kind of medicinal clay and then she spit, that's also not a valid rakika because that's not considered to be saliva that's coming from her own fluids, but it's coming from something external. Amar Rava, tzrichei dayanim lemechzei ruka ki nafek mipuma diyavama dechsev leinei hazikenim viyarika. The dayanim have to actually see the saliva leaving the mouth of the yavama. And then finally, v'nekrashimo beYisrael beis chalutz hanah mitzvah bedayanim velo besalmidim. So according to the Tanakhama, only the dayanim have to say chalutz hanah, whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, even all the bystanders have to say it as well. Tanya amar Rabbi Yehuda, pamacha sayinu yoshim lefnei Rabbi Tarfon uvasa yavama lachlotz. One time we were in front of Rabbi Tarfon, there was a yavama who came to do chalitza. V'amar lanu, he told everyone there to say chalutzano three times. So that's a proof that you're supposed to say it. That in other words, that not just the dayanim, but all the bystanders have to say it as well. Hajar alach mitzvahs chalitza.